This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now again, you can contact me either through regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and there is a weekly meditation that I think you might find helpful on the website as well. So I'll give you the addresses and you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, as we continue our study of Peter and the epistles that he wrote, we've come to 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And I want to read from that passage, which says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber, and we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word." Last time we dealt with the fact that Peter said that they had not followed cunningly devised fables. What he was describing, what he was teaching, was the truth, and one of the evidences of it was the Mount of Transfiguration, where he and Peter, James, and John had been with the Lord when he was transfigured before them, and they got a little taste of glory. And it gives us confidence that what Peter tells us is the truth. But there's a constant attack on the truth by Satan, and that attack on the truth, of course, comes through false prophets, and it comes through false teachers. And Peter is warning us in this second epistle, which is an epistle about last things, that there are going to be false teachers just as there were false prophets. What that tells us is that not everyone who claims to be a Christian is telling us the truth. There are always those who use religion to control people. They use religion in order to get rich. They merchandise the gospel. They are in it for self. They're not in it to glorify the Lord or to really because they love their neighbors. And yet they sound reasonable and they sound sincere. And I've asked myself, what experience is Peter drawing on as he tells us this? And of course, he's probably drawing on illustrations from the Old Testament that we'll look at in a few moments. But he had to be thinking about the fact that there were 12 disciples that were called to be apostles, and one of them was false, and that was Judas. And I've often asked myself, if I had been there observing the situation during the time when these disciples followed the Lord, could I have distinguished between a Peter who three times denied the Lord and a Judas who was simply in it for self, who was an embezzler, took money out of their collections, and who sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver? Would I have been able to distinguish between one who simply did not have a good root and one who simply failed? Now, I think I could have, but I can see where that distinction would be difficult. And that's why we who are saved and who are trying to preach the truth of the gospel today need to be very careful in prayer, and we need to be careful who we associate ourselves with, because there are those who are telling us today that Christ really wasn't the Son of God. And there are those who will deny the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They'll deny the fact that all three of these personalities agree in one, that when you talk to one, you've talked to the other. They will deny the inspiration of Scripture, and yet they'll claim to be Christians, and they'll take our young students in seminary and try to convince them that the Old Testament was written by numerous people. And because it was written by numerous people and there were different fragments that were put together, that it is not in reality something that we can depend upon, that it's not the divinely inspired Word of God. Whereas those of us who have studied that issue believe that the fact that perhaps there were different authors and that there were different manuscripts put together would seem to confirm that man, that God and not man, inspired the Scripture. How else could it have been so cohesive and so conclusive with regard to the prophecies that have been fulfilled and with regard to the central theme that Christ is the one who created us, is the one who redeemed us, and is the one who is coming back to take us to be with himself if we are saved. And so, just as Peter had his weaknesses, he yet was restored to the Lord and was restored to the Lord's service. But Judas sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And while it says in Matthew that he came and repented himself and cast the silver down before the rulers of the Jews, they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." They could care less about what Judas had done. They had used Judas, but Judas had himself been deceived. I don't think Judas ever repented in the sense that he admitted that he was a sinner in need of a Savior and turned to the Lord for salvation. He was the son of perdition from the very beginning. He had a rebellious streak in him. I think what he repented of was the fact that he had sold the Lord, thinking the Lord would deliver himself and no harm would come to him, because the Lord he had seen had that capability. But when he realized that harm was coming to the Lord, he was sorry that he got caught. And I don't think that he ever repented in the sense that he had turned from all that he thought was right in his own sin and his own rebellion to simply trust and believe in the Lord Jesus. So I think perhaps Peter was referring to Judas when he's writing this. And yet, when we go into the writings of the of Paul, and when we go into the writings of Peter and into the writings of Jude, we see that they're all concerned about people that are going to come in and try to destroy the church through false teaching. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back with me to Acts chapter 20, Paul deals with this very thing in his last visit to Ephesus. He says in Acts 20, verse 29, and this is the last time he talks to them face to face in Ephesus, he says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." And so he knows that there's going to be an attack made against this group of Christians who are called together to serve the Lord as a church in Ephesus. Savage wolves from without. They're people who are unsaved, and they come in with a desire to destroy the sheep, to eat the sheep, to ravage the sheep. And he knows that there's going to be an attack from without, and that could be through political systems or even through religious systems. But there's going to be another more subtle problem, and that's going to be people from within who claim to be saved who are going to teach perverse things, that is, things that are destructive and divisive and rebellious, and they're going to be teaching things that are not orthodox, and they're all going to do it to draw away disciples after themselves. They're going to want to have people follow them rather than following the Lord himself. Even the disciples didn't want, even the apostles didn't want people to follow them. Paul makes that clear back in the first few chapters of 1 Corinthians. He says, some of you are saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas." He says, you should be following the Lord. And he makes that clear, but people still want to be leaders. They want to be the ones that people look up to. They want to be the ones that draw, they want to draw disciples after themselves. So there's going to be wolves from without, and there's going to be false teachers from within. And it's interesting that by 90 AD, and I suppose that what happened in Ephesus happened somewhere around 50 AD. I'm not just 100% sure of the date when Paul made his last trip through Ephesus. But let's say it was about 50 AD. Now by 90 or 95 AD, John is getting the message that Ephesus has lost its first love. And that first love is really a love for the Lord, where you put the Lord in a preeminent place and where he is the one that you honor. And they had left their first love. They were doing lots of good things, but they had, their hearts were no longer right. And so we see that all of the apostles were concerned about the attack that would be made against Christianity, true Christianity. And there's an attack made today against the gospel. It's not against the fact that we preach that Christ died and was buried and was rose again the third day, but there's an attack being made against the fact that the Bible says you must be born again. You must be saved. M-U-S-T. Most of the time we understand what those four letters mean. M-U-S-T. But I'm talking to people today who think you can grow into your salvation. You can learn all about it. And at some point you cross over and you don't remember ever being lost. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, an attack against the gospel. Every person who is saved has been awakened to the fact that they need to be saved and that they were lost. And so false teachers will tell us, well, you may not have a story where you remember being lost, but surely if you believe on the Lord, you're saved. And whatever that means to believe on the Lord, it only comes after you found out you can't believe on yourself. Believe in yourself that you can't do anything to please God, that it's by grace that you are saved through faith. And I know people don't remember the dates often when these things happen, but being saved is passing from death unto life, according to John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I think it would be awfully hard to forget a resurrection. So, dear friend, these attacks are being made against simple truths of the gospel even today, and we need to be careful who we listen to, and we need to be comparing scripture with scripture, and we need personally to make sure that we are not a false teacher, a false prophet, a person like Judas who for money and for prestige and for his own benefit sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for the truth of the gospel. We pray that thou bless it today as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.